We shall now turn to Romans chapter 10, and our text for this evening is verse 11. Romans 10 and verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Sometimes people say, I want to be saved. What am I to do? I want to be at peace. I want my sins forgiven. I want to get to heaven. What am I to do? Maybe there is somebody here tonight, and you're saying that very thing. You're asking, how can I become a true Christian, a believer, a saved person? 2,000 years ago, the Philippian jailer asked that question of the Apostle Paul, Acts 16. What must I do to be saved? And he got a very clear answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Paul said believe, but what does it mean to believe? What is believing? What is the kind of faith that is required of us? Because not any faith will do. In a sense, everybody in the world has a kind of faith. But there's a difference between a kind of faith and saving faith. This verse says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed. So what does this mean? To believe on him. Well, first of all, in looking at this verse, I would like us to think briefly about some of the people who will be ashamed on the great judgment day. When you and I and everybody in the world and everybody who's ever lived will be gathered before the judgment seat. The Lord Jesus will be there. To some he will say, come ye blessed of my Father, enter into the joy of your Lord. But to others he will say, depart ye cursed, into that place prepared for the devil and his angels. Awesome words. Think of the atheist. The atheist who says this world just came into being by chance. There is no God. When I die, it's just like a candle snuffed out. That's the end. And then that atheist dies. And they open their eyes before God's judgment seat. How ashamed they will be of their atheism. Yes, they will then begin to reflect on the witness that they had in their own hearts and conscience, on the people around them who tried to reason with them and point them to Christ, on their defiance against God and their resistance of the message of the gospel, even the message of creation that speaks to us and says, there is a God, there must be a God. Where did all these stars come from? Where did all the beauty of this world come from? Where did all the amazing variety of creatures come from? And that day the atheist will be ashamed. What a shock. The followers of false religion will be ashamed. They think of the Muslims, some of them so devout, so dedicated. They fast during Ramadan. They make their pilgrimages to Mecca. They make their prayers 5 times a day. They recite the Quran. They try and keep Sharia. And they think, we are the people. And they die. And they hear Christ saying to them, depart, ye cursed. They rejected the true prophet, the last great prophet, Jesus, and chose their own prophet, Muhammad. They shall be ashamed. The Buddhist will be ashamed of his morality in which he trusted. The Hindu will be ashamed of his many gods to whom he offered sacrifices. Think of the shock that the suicide bomber will have. I want to go to paradise. What a wonderful place paradise will be. And if I kill lots of people, I'll go straight to paradise. And so he takes his bomb and he kills so many people and he blasts himself not into paradise, but into hell. What shame, what disappointment, what a shock it will be. Think of the followers of the cults. I always feel grieved when I go past the Jehovah Witness Kingdom Hall on Alderman Road. You see the crowd of cars that are there on a Sunday morning or on a Thursday evening for the meeting. So diligent. They're so regularly there. You think of them going round the doors trying to propagate their faith. And one day they'll die. And these Jehovah Witnesses have said there's no hell. We go either to a new earth or to a heaven, or the rest will be annihilated. They will learn the truth. The lake of fire that burns forever. They despise the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, and regard him as a mere creature, him who is the Son of God, equal in glory with the Father. Similarly, the Mormons, so arrogant, so self-confident, they will be ashamed on the judgment day. Think of Roman Catholics. You have the chapel across the road from us there, hundreds and hundreds who go there every week. They trust in the church. They trust in the priest. They trust in the mass. They trust in confession. They trust in the Virgin Mary to save them. And they trust in the saints to give them grace. And on the judgment day, depart from me, ye cursed. They didn't trust in Christ, and that's the only way of salvation. Think of so many Protestants, members maybe in the Church of Scotland or the Methodists. Now there are some very good people in these churches, but how many more there are, and they think, just because I'm a member of the church, just because I go to church every Sunday because I'm a good neighbor, because I'm a pillar in the community, I'm fine. And one day they will be ashamed. What about the Free Church continuing? No doubt there will be some Free Church continuing people too who will be ashamed on the Day of Judgment. They heard so much. They knew so much, but they didn't savingly believe in Christ. But this verse tells us, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Are you one of those who believe on Christ? If you are, you will not be ashamed. Now, secondly, what is it to believe? I want us to look at some of the false answers that are given by Christians, to Christians. A person can be a true born-again Christian and yet not answer correctly what it is to believe in Jesus. In a sense, there are two extremes. On the one hand, you have the Arminians. And they say, if you make a decision at a campaign, if you go down to the front, if you sign on the dotted line, if you repeat the sinner's prayer, how you're a Christian, don't doubt it, don't deny it. Don't let anyone disturb you. Don't let the devil disturb you. You're a Christian. Believe that you're a Christian. And what is this faith? It's a faith of believing you're a Christian. Just because you repeated a few words or because you made some sort of decision. It's all so superficial. It's all on the surface. And there are many, many people, millions of them, and they make these decisions. And really, they've never been born again. Their life hasn't changed. And Jesus is neither their Savior nor their Master. You see, the new birth is not a mere work of man. What is the new birth? Jesus defines it for us. It's to be born from above. It's to be born of the Holy Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, you hear the sound thereof, cannot tell from whence it comes or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The new birth is a work of God's Holy Spirit, a mighty, powerful, transforming work. It's so radical that it's called a new creation. And a new creation is not simply a decision or repeating a little prayer or signing a card. It's a transforming. So that's the Arminian answer, superficial. And then you get the hyper-Calvinist. A hyper-Calvinist says, there's nothing you can do. Just sit and wait. If you're in the elect, you'll be saved. If you're not, you won't. You can come to church. It's probably better to be under the word than not under the word. But if God means to save you, he will. If he doesn't mean to save you, there's no hope for you. Is that the message of the gospel? Is that the message that we get presented to us on the preaching in the book of Acts? Definitely is not. So there's these two extremes. One says, it's all your work, saving yourself. And the other says, it's God's work with which you have nothing to do, and you cannot do it, and you just sit down and do nothing, and wait, and maybe something will happen out of the blue, and if not, well, tough luck. You'll just end up in hell. But what is the biblical answer? We have it here. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So what is that? What is it to believe on him? Well, the first thing is, you must come to realize your own lostness. And you must face up to it, your own sinfulness, and that you're a born sinner, and that you cannot save yourself, and that you're worthy of being sent to hell. You have to face up to your own sinnerhood before God, and that you are condemned by God's word, by God's law, and by God himself. So there's a searching of your heart, a facing up to reality, a measuring of your life against what the Bible says, and realizing that you're a born sinner, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, realizing that like the rest of the world, you took Christ and you crucified him, and that by unbelief you reject him, realizing that all your sins day after day are being numbered up into thousands of millions that stand against you to condemn you. Lostness. Lost. The second thing you have to appreciate is the work of Christ. So important to understand something of this work. To realize that God came into the world to save sinners. That he came from heaven's glory into this world, humbled himself, became a man. And what did he do? He took his people's sins upon himself. And he stood before God with his people's sins. And he suffered the punishment that was due to you and me for these sins. He suffered then the punishment for us. He died on the cross. He suffered the wrath and curse of God on the cross. He suffered hell before he died. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And for the Son of God in human flesh to be forsaken by his Father, that was hell. The work of Christ. Remember just before he died what he said. It is finished. It is completed. It is done. I've saved my people. I've paid the price for their sin. I've earned their salvation. Not one of my elect will perish. Those whom the Father hath given me, I have lost none of them. But the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot. Christ came into the world to save sinners. He took our sins upon himself. He suffered for them, died for them on the cross. It is finished. It is completed. I did it. I'm not just making salvation possible. I saved you. He is the Savior. To him must go all the glory. He must get all the glory for our salvation. Our lostness, Christ's purchasing salvation for us. But then there's something else. We must believe. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That work of Christ must be applied to us. Now this believing involves several things. It involves repentance, penitence, sorrow for sin, a turning from you, from sin. Repent and be baptized that your sins may be blotted out. Repent and be converted, every one of you. That was the message of the apostles. John the Baptist, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, the same thing, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? So there's a duty to repent. To turn from sin, hating sin, to turn away from everything that's evil, to turn from all wickedness, and to turn to the Lord. Repentance. Realizing your need, your sinfulness, and turning from sin. Now, it's not a matter of turning from sin and making yourself good, and then hoping to be saved. No. It's a matter of turning from sin to cast yourself on Christ. So that involves faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know the truth. You need to understand the gospel to some extent. Faith comes by hearing, we're told here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preaching, without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yes, it's important to hear. It's important to come to church. It's important to read the Bible. It's important to read good books. But if somebody asks the question, what must I do to be saved? We don't tell them, go on a program of a year's reading of the Bible or listening to sermons. No, today is the day of salvation. Turn from your sins today and believe in Jesus. Some basic truth that's necessary for us to know. And so we have to explain these truths about Christ the Savior dying for our sins to save us. And faith involves believing these facts. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Believing that Jesus is the only Savior. Believing that he makes peace between us and God. Believing the truths of the Bible. So there's a believing of the facts of the gospel. But there's more than that. There's a thinking seriously about the decision that has to be made. Jesus says, you are to count the cost. He speaks of somebody building a tower. And he says, what a fool that man is if he starts building a tower and he doesn't have enough money to finish it. And so all he's able to do is use up all his money, his hard-earned money, in building a little ridiculous-looking thing. That's no use. That's no benefit. So Jesus says, count the cost. No man can be my disciple unless he deny himself, self-denial, take up his cross, and follow me. Self-denial is very much involved in becoming a Christian and in being a Christian. Denying himself, taking up his cross, and following me. So, counting the cost, taking, deciding for Christ, but it's not a superficial decision. It's a thought-out, well-considered, determined decision. That's what's required. And then you notice that the words here say, not believing in Jesus, but believing on Jesus. That's so important, isn't it? Whosoever shall believe on him. There's lots of people who believe in Jesus. They believe that Jesus was the Son of God and they believe all the things in the Bible, but they don't believe on Jesus. They don't cast themselves on Christ. They don't depend upon him. They don't rest on him. They don't rely on him. There has to be a commitment of ourselves. There has to be a casting of ourselves upon Christ, believing on him and on him alone. Resting, relying, trusting. And combined with that, calling upon the name of the Lord. Verse 13 puts it like that, doesn't it? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Prayer is a very important part to play in salvation. Faith finds its expression in prayer. Calling upon the name of the Lord. Committing ourselves to him. Receiving and embracing the Lord Jesus Christ as he is offered to us in the gospel. Taking him into our hearts. standing firmly upon him as a rock. And also involved is obedience to the gospel. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Many people, and they listen to the message, but they don't obey it. They don't obey God. They don't take Christ as their master. They may be thinking that they can trust in him for forgiveness and live the way they want themselves, live the kind of life that they choose, please themselves and follow their pleasures. But no, there must be obedience. To obey the gospel. The gospel is the glad tidings we receive about Jesus Christ and his finished work, but it demands obedience. The obedience of repentance, turning from sin, the obedience of faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and calling upon the name of the Lord, and the obedience of determining to live for God, to spend our lives in his service. Obeying the gospel. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So many don't believe, so many don't accept, so many don't follow. But then, fourthly, the hyper-Calvinist will object and say, you make it out to be all the work of man. No, I don't. It is the work of God, the work of God's Holy Spirit. Who will want to be saved? Will somebody who is dead in trespasses and sins want to be saved? No. So if you want to be saved, is that not an indication that God is already at work in your life, giving you the desire for salvation, giving you a longing for salvation? Who will decide, who will believe, who will seek to turn away from sin and believe and follow the Lord? Somebody who's dead in trespasses and sins? Somebody who hates Christ? And that's the state of the unbeliever. But surely we have here evidence of the Spirit at work, that the Spirit gives us a concern, a desire after God, and a desire to commit our life to him, and a desire to be saved. God works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He says to us, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. Amazing balance. The hyper-Calvinist says, God must do it all, so you just sit and do nothing. The Arminian says, you must do it all, so you try and do everything without God. No. You must do with God's help. Looking to God, trusting in God, depending in God, rejoicing in every desire that the Lord gives you, and every stirring in your heart and conscience. Who can understand the cross and Christ dying for our sins and faith without the illumination of the Holy Spirit, the light that the Spirit gives? It is the Spirit who makes us willing. God makes us willing in a day of his power. You must be born again. Yes. But leave God to do the work of new birth. Repent and believe the gospel. Leave God to do his work. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Repent of your sins. Believe the gospel tonight. Cast yourself upon Christ tonight and you'll be saved. This is what the verse says to us, doesn't it? Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So I want you to notice the promise. Fifthly, the promise that is here, a wonderful promise to believers. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Many people will be ashamed. We spoke about them earlier on. How many will be ashamed on the judgment day? But those who believe in him will not be ashamed. Those who cast themselves upon him, the true Christian, the true believer, he will be proud. Not proud of himself, but proud of Christ. Proud of what Christ has done. Proud of the salvation that he has purchased for us. Proud of the Holy Spirit and his application of redemption. Others will call upon the mountains to fall on them, and the hills to cover them from the face of him that sits upon the throne. What a terrifying face Christ will have for unbelievers. Such a horrid face for them. So frightening that they would rather the mountains to fall on them and crush them into oblivion. But that won't happen. They must face Christ and his wrath. But for those who believe on Christ, his face to them will be the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000. So beautiful, so inviting, so desirable. There's a promise then here, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You will never perish if you believe on him. No soul that's looking to Christ will perish. None who are calling upon the name of the Lord will perish. Sometimes the devil will say to you, well, did you really believe in Jesus 20 years ago? Or 2 years ago? Or 2 months ago? Did you really believe in him then? Are you sure? Are you truly converted? How do you make sure? You make sure by believing again. By once again committing yourself to Christ. By once again turning from your sins to him. By once again calling upon the name of the Lord and remembering his promise, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Don't take it for granted that you're a Christian, but every day of your life, make your calling and election sure by seeking the Lord every day and seeking to live for him. And finally, we have here the universal call. Whosoever, that includes you. Whosoever, no qualifications, no difference between Jew and Gentile. There is no difference, verse 12, between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Whether you're a church person or not a church person, whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you're rich or poor, whether you've had a Christian background or a non-Christian background, makes no difference, whosoever. Whatever sins you've committed, whatever life you've lived, whatever mess you've made, whatever scandal has followed your past, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. A brilliant word, isn't it? Whosoever. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Makes no difference who you are or what your background is. This gospel is a gospel for every single man and woman boy and girl in the world. And the gospel is saying to you, whosoever you are, believe on him. And if you believe on him, you will not be ashamed. But if you don't believe on him, you will be ashamed. It couldn't be clearer, could it? Believe on him and you'll be saved. Believe on him tonight and you'll be saved. But find an excuse for not believing. Put it off for another day. And you'll be ashamed. Ashamed when he comes. Friends, cast yourself on Christ. Cast yourself on him. Cast yourself on his finished work. Take hold of it. Plead that before God. Call upon the name of the Lord and seek salvation through Jesus Christ alone. And remember, those that seek shall find. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.